It's not that you like that better than this. It's just that it's a complicated. Oh, there we see it.
It's a complicated issue.
Okay.
Well, this thing is very, very much worth hearing.
Yeah, I don't say no, but...
כן,
כאן הוא אומר, הוא
אומר,
הלב בין...
אז הוא אומר, קריאתה, זה הלב. אז הוא אומר, כתוב במגילה נקראת, ביודע אלף י"ב, י"ג, י"ד, ט"ו, תעשה גם אחר יוצא בדיוק עליהם. הוא אומר, קריאתה, זה...
נכון?
אוקיי,
טוב לשמוע.
So let's just quickly go over the various scenarios in the Mishnah, okay? So that we have this. Right, so Megillah Nikras, so we have the whole list. We spoke about Lo Pachos below Yoser. We said that maybe Rashi thinks that just like there are 3 days added before, maybe we should add 3 days afterwards, or if we had 2 days before, 2 days afterwards. But the din is lo pachas v'lo yosa. It's a separate din of lo yosa that you can't go beyond Tesvah. Fine. Then we divided up the population of the people into 3 groups. We had Krachim, and they read on Tesvah, and those are walled cities from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Then we have the Orim, the Ayoros, which are called Prozim, because they're in open cities. And then finally we have the Bnei Akfarim, and for them, we give them Yom HaKnisa, which is either Monday or Thursday. What happens on these 2 days? They come in from the villages, they get into the big cities. This is all based on Takonis Ezra, that they should hear Kriyas HaTorah on Mondays and Thursdays. That's when the Beis Din Kavur would sit. They would come in for a court case. And once they came in, we didn't want to make them come in a second time for Kriyas HaMegillah. That would be too much of a tircha. So we were Mekil, and the Chachamim, considering their tircha, they gave the Bnei Akfarim the opportunity to read the Megillah when they came in on the Yom HaKnisa, which would either be Monday or Thursday. Okay, so how do we get Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel? So that's what the Mishnah says, Ketzad. So we're going to work out different scenarios. When was the 14th of Adar? If the 14th Adar was on a Monday, then everybody's going to read on Monday, with the exception of the Krachim, who are going to read on Tuesday, which is the 15th. So there's no distinction between the Kfarim and the Bnei Ha'ir, the Prazim, in a case where the 14th of Adar fell on Monday, and who had din if it falls on Thursday? Because then the Yom HaKnisa is exactly on Yud Dal. Right, the issue of being makdim is only when the day of Yudalim is not on a Monday or on a Thursday. It's on other days of the week. So what are the possible scenarios? So the first scenario that the Mishnah addresses, actually two scenarios, is when the 14th of Adar falls on either a Tuesday or a Wednesday. So let's say if the 14th of Adar is on a Tuesday, then Yom HaKnisa is on Monday, which is the 13th of Adar. Okay? Now, if on the other hand, Yudalid B'Adar falls on a Wednesday, so now we have a 2-day discrepancy between the Yom HaKnisa, which is Monday, and Yudalid, and therefore we'll have to be Makdim back to Yud Beis. So we have Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, which would be if Yud Aleph falls on either a Tuesday or a Wednesday. Now we have the case where Yud Aleph falls on a Thursday. Then the Kfarim and the Arayos and the Prazim are all one and the same, as we mentioned before. The Mukafim will read it on Friday on the 15th. If the 14th falls on Erev Shabbos, so then the Kfarim are going to read it 1 day earlier on Yud Gimel, which is on a Thursday. Again, you could ask why the Mishnah had to repeat this. I mean, really, we could figure this out on our own. The Ayaros will read it on Thursday. However, here's the Chiddush. Then this... I'm sorry. What I meant to say is the Ayaros will read on Friday. And here's the Chiddush. That the Krachim, instead of pushing it off... Right, instead of pushing it off to the 15th... They're going to have to read it together with the Ayoras on the 14th. Why can't they push it off to the 15th? Because of Gzeira the Rabba. And then that Sunday is no longer an option. That's based on the halach that we mentioned before, Velo Yosef, that you can't go beyond the 15th. Now the 14th falls on Shabbos, so no one's going to read it on the 14th. So then the Kfarim are going to read it together with the Ayoras on Thursday, which will be in this case the 13th, and the Mukafas Choma will read it on Sunday, which is the 15th. So where do we get Yud-Aleph? And that's the last case of the Mishnah, when the 14th of Adar falls out on Sunday. If the 14th of Adar falls out on Sunday, the Kfarim has to go 3 days. Now the discrepancy is the maximum discrepancy that you could have, a 3-day discrepancy, taking you back to Thursday's Yom HaKnisa, and that's going to be on the 11th of Adar. The Prozim are going to read it on Sunday, why not? And the Krochim on Monday, which is the 15th of Adar, why not? That's more or less the summary of the Mishnah.
I don't want to go too far off. I mean, this is about reading Megillah, which is the Rabbanan. You have, let's say, you know,
Parshat Zohar. Might be the rice.
That might be the rice, and that's that. You know, we don't have anything. You know, other things that people have to read or hear. Do we have this kind of accommodation where we're going to?
Would we be as flexible and as compassionate had it been mixed with the rice?
Somebody's paralleling on Parshat Zohar. What do you, you know?
Right.
And they can't be.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with you that on the Doraisa we can't be so flexible.
But we don't have all
the
time to resolve.
Right.
Yeah. You know, what I'm saying, but the principle that Eric is saying, I think, is the fundamental difference between a Doraisa and a Darbonon as to whether or not we can be flexible and change the dates, I think is right. That it'd be very difficult to...
But the fact that they're being so flexible suggests that this is viewed as a very, very important
mitzvah.
In other words, they're saying, you know what, if you miss it, we're going to give you lots of chances to hear it. You know, they're really trying to accommodate.
In other words, what you're saying is a lot fluky, that they could have dropped the ball and just said, forget about the mitzvah. Right. You're right. Yeah, the mitzvah Megillah is a big deal. In fact, I would say that the mitzvah Megillah might even be greater than Chanukah, even though both are very similar, the lowest common denominator is Pirsman Nes. But Megillah is even more severe than Chanukah. And the reason for that is because Megillah is rooted in the Tanakh. So, for example, if you have a Sofer, where they read the Megillah on the 14th or the 15th, like Tveria Bizman Hazeh, where they read it on both days, so why not apply the principle of Sofik Darabon Lekul? There are many different answers to this question, but one of the answers is the famous answer of Shachas Aryeh, who writes a commentary on Moadim called the Turi Evan. And in his Turi Evan, he claims that because the mitzvah Megillah is codified, is encoded in the Tanakh itself, it has the status of what's called Divrei Kabbalah. And Divrei Kabbalah is one up in the Rabbanan. So we really have 3 levels. You have Doraisa, and then you have Chanukah, which would be the Rabbanan. And in the middle, you have something called Divrei Kabbalah. And the Shachas Aryeh says that that's why Sofik Lechumra. Because Divrei Kabbalah is elevated, is upgraded almost to the status of the Doraisa. So, for example, we'll find a lot of kulas in Chanukah, and we won't find similar kulas in the Gil. For example, it could be that in Chanukah will allow a katan under certain circumstances, we reach a certain age, to light the Chanukah. I don't think we'll find a parallel in the Gil. I mean, you have to, again, this is something that needs a lot of research, but I'm just saying that there's definitely truth to the fact that the Rabbanan have a big push to make sure that everybody hears the Megillah. Yerushalmi says about Bar Kappara, who was one of the Tanoim, that he used to gather together his whole family and read the Megillah in front of his whole family. Noshim, Anoshim, Etam. It's almost like a mitzvah of avoda. The Gemara is going to compare later on. What do we do in the case of a Kohen who has two options? Either he shows up in the Migdash to do his avoda because he's on duty, or he reads the Megillah. He goes to hear the reading of the Megillah. Why did the Gemara even raise such a possibility? Come away from Hawaii.
That's
going to be a problem. We can grab that chair if you don't mind and bring it in. Someone's sitting on the chair.
Grab him
in. So yesterday we did the Mishnah, and today we want to start the Gemara. Now the Gemara asks a question here. We give a big grace. So the key word here is minon. And the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time here on this word minon. Minon usually means that we're trying to find a source in the Torah for something. But in this case, again, there is a source for the Kriyas Hamegillah in Tanakh. But that's only as far as Yudalid and Teshvav is concerned. Rabbanu made a kula for the villagers to allow them to read the Megillah on a different day. So what are we anticipating? That there's going to be some sort of a verse in Tanakh that's going to indicate these extra days. That's the Gemara is going to vacillate back and forth on this word Minolan and what the significance of Minolan is. But mostly, just on a technical level, if logistically, if we can work it out that we all sit at the same table, not now, I'm saying lahak, because I'll tell you, I have a psychological issue, it's my own personal subjective issue. When there's noise in the background, I raise my voice. Even if it's not necessary, it's a knee jerk response. And at the end of the day, you know, my voice
is in the base measure.
Okay, so Megillah Nikras Yud Aleph, when it says Yud Aleph, there are other Yud Sos in the Gemara that have Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Yud Aleph is just the prototype of the extra days when the Megillah itself only speaks about 2 days, about the 14th and the 15th. So we know. So the Gemara says, Minolan, what are you talking? This is a strange question, Minolan. The Gemara is going to establish later on. This is a Gemara on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, and it repeats itself on Daf Yutes Amud Aleph. We're going to mention the Sugya Yutes Amud Aleph as an introduction to this whole Sugya, but let's wait for that. And it says there, the Chachamim were very flexible, they were very eager for the villagers to come into the city and read the Megillah. And that's going to be on the Yom HaKnisa, which is either Monday or a Thursday. And today, they were the farmers, and their farms were located near bodies of water. So in the urban centers, there was a limited supply of water because they didn't have any aqueducts in the city. So the kfarim would bring in water from outside, from the village, in order to supply the big city slickers with water. Not only that, they brought mazon. What's mazon? Food, right? The produce, as we call it today. And they would. We wanted to be, you know, we could have said to them, you know what? You stay home on the Yom HaKnisa. You can't make 2 trips. It's too much of a schlep. So just come in to hear the Megillah reading. Instead of coming in on a Monday and a Thursday, come in on a Tuesday or Wednesday. You don't have to come in twice. That would be too much of a tirchah for them. But come in just to hear the Megillah. No. We wanted to come in on Mondays and Thursdays because those are the days when they came in and they distributed their produce to the big city slickers. So why are you asking me Minolan? This seems to be a takonas chachamim that would be beneficial to both the kfarim and the bnei ha'ir. For the sake, you know, we have a concept called yeshuvo shel olam. So you familiar with that concept? Yeshuvo shel olam means that the chachamim have to make sure that everything functions properly and smoothly.
Are you saying the Gemara is not asking the right question?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Where's the
Gemara's objecting? We know. This was a kula that the Chacham made for the sake of society to make sure that society functions well. They lubricated, they oiled the system. There are many Chachamim. For example, the first Perek of Bava Basra, the major chunk of that sugya of Bava Basra is all about Yeshiva Shalom. How do we collect taxes? What do the Bnei Ha'ir have to? They have to build the bridges and so forth. So this is what the Chachamim did. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that a Masachik Kukubia, a gambler, is excluded from Eidus and other people. Why? Because he's not Osek Yeshiva Shalom. So we have to settle. Now this has to be reconciled with Rashi, because if you take a look at this long Rashi, Dibra Masur Elishak Farin, which starts from the you'll find that Rashi understood that the reason why we want to get the Bnei Kfarim in on Mondays and Thursdays is so that they'll hear Kriyas HaTorah and they'll be able to come and convene a court case. The Gemara seems to say that, well, the reason why we're so eager to push that the Bnei Kfarim come in on Mondays and Thursdays is because of Yisbeku Mayim Umozon Lachem Shebekroch. So that has to be ironed out. I'm trying to get to a certain point, so if you just give me 5 minutes, because otherwise I'm going to lose my... So again, we want to know now, if the Chachamim, for whatever reason, they wanted to facilitate the Kriyas HaMegillah of the Bnei Kfarim on the Yom HaKnisa, that's Hikilu Chachamim, the main word is Chachamim Hikilu, then when you see the words Chachamim Hikilu, you don't ask the question, we know them. Chachamim Hikilu means they made a separate Chachana. So the Gemara says, Anan Hachi Kamrina. Here's what I meant to ask you. Anan, we, he's talking the royal we, the Makshan who said me no one. This is what I meant to ask you. Michti. Let's take a look and see and analyze how do we understand the mechanics of Chachamim Hikilu. Chachamim Hikilu. Now, watch what goes on over here. There are two historical periods. There's one historical period called the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And that's the period of time of the Takana of Megillah, of Mordechai and Esther, when they somehow implored the Chachamim and were able to convince the Chachamim to establish the days of Purim, the 2 days of Yudalim and Tishvah. So that's called the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Anybody know how many members sat on that great assembly? I'm testing you, 120. That was a body of legislators that had tremendous power in Chazal. And now I'm telling you that Hikilu Chachamim. Now I'm telling you that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah established 2 days for Purim, for the greeting of the Megillah. That's Yudalit and Tesfah. And now I'm telling you Hikilu Chachamim, forget it. The Chachamim said at some later period of time that we're going to do away with Yudalit and Tesfah for the sake of Bnei HaKfarim, and we're going to allow them to read on other days. So the Gemara says that's really problematic. Why? Kulu Anshei Knesset HaGdolah Tekininim. The entire thrust of this takana of Kriyas HaMegillah was established by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. The Isal Gedaitach Anshei Knesset HaGdolah Yedayet V'Tesvav Tikun. And if you're going to assume, which was our premise, that they, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, only established 2 days. Which 2 days, Rabbi? The 14th and the 15th. That's all we find in the Megillah. If you read the Megillah carefully from beginning to end, all you'll find is these 2 days, the 14th and the 15th, is Asu, this is what I call a rhetorical question, Asu Rabbanon the Akre Takanta the Tekinu Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, is it possible, and it's really impossible, that the Rabbanon came, Asu Rabbana, they came, and they were okay. They completely undermined the Takana of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, because according to the Takana of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the Bnei Kfarim would have to come in on the 14th, even if it was a Tuesday, even if it was a Wednesday, even if it was a Friday, even if it was a Sunday. That's what it says in the Megillah, that there are two days, and only 2 days for the reading of the Megillah. Come along the Chachamim, and they're okay a Takana of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, impossible. Why? That violates our rules. This is what we call in basketball, we call it a technical foul, right? No, it's not. We have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ein Bezdin Yochel Levatel Divrei Bezdin Chaveiro. A later court cannot undermine a decree, an enactment of an earlier court. Elim came. Gadol Mimenu Bechachma Uveminya. There are two requirements. Number one, the second Bezdin that wants to undermine the first Bezdin has to be greater in Chachma. And here's a tremendous controversy. How do we interpret Chachma? But Chachma means that all the members of the later court have to be superior in Chachma, Torah knowledge, than the first original court. Or it's enough that the Rosh Bezdin, that the one individual heads the Bezdin, he has the most influence on the Bezdin. Again, we have to know exactly what the halakhic status of a Nasi and Bezdin is. He has to be superior to the Nasi Bezdin that preceded him. Number two, dominion. The number of members of the court, again, here also there's going to be a controversy exactly what that means, but in any event, the numbers of the member of the court, the makeup of the court has to supersede the numbers of the original court. And the Gemara assumes that can't be. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolim were the greatest Chachamim. These were the Tanoim. There were even Neviim amongst the Anshei Knesset HaGedolim. They made all the Takanos that we're familiar with. And there was no Bezdin subsequent that was superior in Chachma and Minyan. So what's this business about Chacham and Mikilu? The whole concept of Chacham and Mikilu makes no sense. And therefore, the Gemara says, I'm going to reiterate or reformulate my original question, Minolam. And what's the original? Now let's reformulate it. This is kind of like a fallback position. In other words, I can't ask you Minolan because again, you're going to tell me that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah established the extra 3 days. That's not true. You read the Megillah only mentions Yudalan and Tesvav. Even Tesvav is problematic. The Megillah doesn't explicitly mention that they read the Megillah on the 15th. But certainly there's no mention of Yudalan, Yudbeis, and Yudgimel. So the Gemara says, Hecha Remiza. Now again, if you are the proud owner of the Gemara that you're using, I would beg you to underline, I have an extra pen here, the words Hecha Remiza. Because those two words, Hecha Remiza, if you underline them, then any time you look at this daf, Megillah daf Beis Amud Aleph, and you look and your eye catches these two words, Hecha Remiza, you'll understand the entire daf. Just from the Hecha Remiza. Outslicked, as we said, Yiddish, the whole thing in here is in those two words, Hecher Amisa. What does it mean, Hecher Amisa? Okay, you ready for this? Okay, I'm going to stand up for this, because I tend to dance for. This is an unbelievable, unbelievable Yiddish. What is Hecher Amisa? The reason I know this is because I did a tremendous amount of research on Iser Yichud, when a man and a woman are not allowed to be in the same place alone, if she's an Erev. So the Gemara at the end of the Sefer Kedushin says, Hecha Remiza. Where's the Rebbe's that a man is not allowed to be alone with a woman? And the Gemara quotes a parsha, a basis, a idea that has to do with Avodah Zarah. It has nothing to do with Yichud. So what was Hecha Remiza? So I did a lot of work on this. I published a few articles, one in a journal called Tchumin, if you ever heard of it, and another in a journal in American English, which is called the RJJ Journal, Halakha and Contemporary Society. A lot of issues in Yichud that people are... So what's Hecha Remiza? So listen carefully. You know what Hecha Remiza means? Again, this is an hour-long discussion that I'm going to give you in 2 minutes. Hecha Remiza means that sometimes the Torah is deliberately vague. Deliberately vague. Again, they may lock me up in jail for saying this. And what the Torah is doing is, it is giving a green light, is license to the Chachamim to fill in the details. In other words, the Torah will say, Yahaftal Reach Kamoko, for example. So what does that mean? So maybe if I'm Shlomo Kalman, that means I got to run around the streets and hug everybody on the streets. Maybe it's not a bad idea. Again, I don't know if the medical professionals will agree with that. You know, a lot of germs going around. But anyway.
Say hello to everybody.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. So that's Yahaftal Reach Kamoko. So the Chachamim instituted what's called Bikur Cholim with many different dinim, and Hachnosis Orachim with many different dinim, and so forth and so on. That's called Hecha Remiza. Hecha Remiza means that I have to find some source in the Torah that gives us license to formulate the halacha that the Chachamim at some point will... So here's the deal. On the one hand, the Megillah only mentions 2 days. Which 2 days? 14th and 15th. On the other hand, Hecha Remiza, there's got to be a remez in the Megillah
that the Chachamim are authorized down the line to add extra days for Kriyas HaMegil, because if not, then you're violating the principle called Ein Bezdin Acher, a later Bezdin, unless it's Godel Mimena B'Chof Mimena, cannot be Oker, the first Bezdin. So if the first Bezdin, which is the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah at the time of Esther Mordechai, only established 2 days for Kriyas HaMegil, Yudalim and Tesfav, then the Chachamim would not have the audacity to add extra days for Kriyas HaMegil. The only way that we can justify this is with a mechanics called Hecher Remiza. There must be a remez somewhere in the Megillah that even when the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah established those 2 days, they also instituted, or I should say instituted, they injected into the entire mechanics here the possibility that somewhere down the line the Chachamim would expand the days for Kriyas HaMegillah. That's called Hecher Remiza. There must be something in the Megillas Esther, an extra word, an extra letter, something that's a remez, that even if it would be very far from what we call Pshuto Shel Mikra, you know, but nevertheless it tells us that the Chachamim are authorized down the line to create a takana that would facilitate Kriyas HaMegillah and expand its possibilities, even if it means adding days to Kriyas HaMegillah.
Okay, Eric, you wanted to say something before. I just wanted to get to that point. Yeah.
Well, I was just wondering, because it says the prophet. Is it referring specifically to the walled cities there? And so it's worried that if they stayed home on the day before, then people in the walled cities wouldn't.
So Tosfos' sheet is the following: that if we're talking about the 15th, then the word krochim means a walled city. If we're not talking about the 15th specifically, then the word krochim means a large city. So the kfarim, the Bnei Kfarim, the villages used to converge onto the krachim. Here the word krachim means the largest city.
So and I guess then the fear is if they didn't have this takana that they would essentially become, they'd say, oh well, I'm not going to come in on Yom Kanisa, I'll instead go in on the 14th,
yeah, exactly.
I'm going into Reading Gila, right. And the people won't have in advance and it'll be too...
I can leave my farm... for a day. I can't leave my farm for 2 days. So, for example, if Yudalit is on Tuesday, so now you're telling me I have to come in on Yudalit, which is Tuesday. I'm not going to come in on Monday. And it was organized in such a way that on Monday they would supply, whether it would be produce or whether it be water, for the Bnei Krachim, for the large city slickers, an ample.
Everyone planned to go to the market. That
correct. Day. Correct. They would pay for their work. It wasn't gratis. You know, that's how they made a living.
All
right. Great. Okay, so we're up to Hecha Remiza, am I right? Now, the Gemara is now, just by way of introduction, going to offer two different approaches to answer the question Hecha Remiza. Okay, then? So I call this the oil approach and the consolation approach. Okay, that's just the words that I use to help me remember the Gemara. Okay. So these are the two approaches. So the first one is the oil approach. How do you say oil in Hebrew? Shemen. Okay. Omar Av Shemen. Very interesting name. Maybe his family were in the oil business. Right? I know a man named Zayat. And his ancestors used to have vineyards.
Maybe from
Shevet Asher.
Shevet Asher.
So Omar Av Shemen. His father's name was interesting. His father's name was Abba. Could you imagine calling your father Abba when his name is Abba? That's a halachic issue. The post can deal with that. Anyway, so Rav Shemin, the son of Abba, Omar Rav Yochanan.
Right. Just called Abba because his name was his father's name. In other words, I know there's sometimes the father will call him. They'll have the whole thing of.
My Rebbe in high school was his name was Abba. That was his name?
Rabansky.
Yeah.
My brother's.
Your brother's name is Abba?
Yeah, my brother's
name is Abba. Yeah, Abba's a pretty common name, and in the Gemara it's also very common. So this helps me remember Omar Av Shemin, Bar Abba, Omar Av Yochanan. See, we're talking about a tradition that goes back to Rabbi Yochanan. Keep in mind, Rabbi Yochanan is first generation Amora, and he has a tremendous amount of authority. The Gemara here at the beginning of Megillah is going to work very hard to try to figure out Rabbi Yochanan. Omar Krah. So we go back to the Megillah. What does it say in the Megillah? Okay, so let's just give a little background. This is Perek Tes, at the end of Megillah Esther, that goes through the entire Takana of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. It says, HaYehudim HaPrazim, those who lived in the open cities, the Pasuk tells us, would make the 14th of Adar a day of Simcha, Mishnah, etc. And then the Megillah goes on to say, V'es Yom Chamisha Sarbo, and in the same month of Adar, the 15th of the month, B'chol Shana Ushana. Kayomim Asher Nochu Behem HaYehudim Me'oivim. So what's clear here is that these two calendar dates for Yemei Simcha U'Mishneh, which are mentioned in the Megillah, the 14th and the 15th, correspond to Yomim Asher Nochu Me'oivim. What does Nochu mean? It means the day after the Melchama ended. So the Melchama Samolek for the Prozim ended on the 13th, and the day after was the 14th. That's Nochu Me'aveim. In the case of Shushan, as the paradigm of a Krach Mukaf Choma, the battle against Amalek continued for an extra day on the 14th as well, and they rested Nahu on the 15th. So those are the 2 days. So for the Prozim, we're going to establish the 14th as Yom Tov L'Simcha U'L'Mishten. And for the case of the Krachim, we're going to establish the 15th as the day of Simcha U'Mishten. And then the Pasuk, which is very famous, says, Kimu v'kiblu ayehudim aleim v'alzarav. They accepted this upon themselves, for themselves, and for their descendants, v'lo yavar. And the Gemara is going to make a big deal about v'lo yavar, that it doesn't go beyond the 15th. Fine. And then it says that they sent out these messages to all the people in the 127 provinces. Vatichtov Esther Amalka bas Avichayil u'Mordechai ha-Yehudi l'kayim es yimei ha-Purim ha-Ela bizmaneha. Now, the thrust of this pasuk, al pshuto shel mikra, is to tell you that the reason why they wrote this down and they sent this out to circulate amongst all the Jews is because they wanted to make sure that these 2 days would be celebrated, would be marked not only at the time of the miracle, but for all generations henceforth. And that's called L'kayim Es Yimei HaPurim Ha'elu B'Zmaneihem Kasher Kiyam Aleihem Mordechai Yehudi V'Esther Amalka, meaning at the time of the miracle. But the Gemara here, I call it the oily Gemara of Rav Shemin, he's focused on the word B'Zmaneihem. And what bothers him about the word B'Zmaneihem? It could have said the word Zman in singular. Even though, again, there are 2 different days, so why would the Megillah, why would we prefer the word Zman? The answer is, Zman is relative. Zman is relative to the day of Chanoyah. So the day of Chanoyah of resting for the Prozim is on the 14th. The day of Chanoyah for the Mukafim Choma is on the 15th. And that's what the word Zman would be. Why does the Megillah use the word Zmanehem? It seems to that the plural form is absolutely inappropriate. It's totally superfluous and out of place. So he says the following. He says, and here again I would ask you to underline, to highlight the next few words, Zmanim harbe tiknu lahem, that the plural form of Zmanehem is a remez to the multiple days that they enacted, that they established for reading of the Megillah. Again, as Eric pointed out very well yesterday, it doesn't mean that these extra days will be days of Purim. For example, the 13th, as he pointed out beautifully yesterday, is Tainis Esther. We're not going to have on a fast day, which is a solemn day, a hopla. We're only talking about one mitzvah, pinpointing, excluding one mitzvah, and that is the mitzvah of Megillah. And the Torah says Bismanayim to indicate, the Tanakh says that there are other days besides the 14th and the 15th that are called Bismanayim. Zmanim harbe tiknu lahem chachon. Now we have the green light, the license
for the Chachamim through the generations to add extra days for Kriyas HaMegillah. So even though Megillah Esther itself codifies and explicitly mentions only the 14th and the 15th, we're going to add another 3 days in order to facilitate the Bnei HaKfarim coming in to hear the Megillah on the Yom HaKnisa, and they're not going to come in twice, as we said. So the Gemara says, Haidi Boile Legufe. We need the plural for the pasuk itself. Why? Because there are two different days for Kriyas HaMegillah, not just one. So the word Zman in the singular would be inappropriate. We need both Yudalid and Tesvav. So the Gemara says, no, I don't need it for these 2 days. In Cain, I could still survive. Lema Krav, the Torah just said Zman. And we would understand conceptually and contextually that Zman refers hikinously, hikinously relative to the two groups of Jews. And those groups of Jews that rested on the 14th will read the Megillah on the 14th. Those on the 15th on the 15th. So my zmanayim, again, why do I need the plural zmanayim? Says Rav Shaman, zmanim tuva, that there are many, many days that the Chachamim are licensed to add to Yudalit and Tesvav, also the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. Kupari says, wait a minute, fakati mi boile, I still have a halachic need that would justify the plural of Zmanayim, to tell me that Zmano shel zeh lo kizmano shel zeh. Now what this means, as Rashi amplifies, is the following, that if I live in a city, I don't have the opportunity to push off my hearing of the Megillah for 1 day and decide that I'm going to take a fast train, from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv or to Petah Tikva or to Lud or wherever you're going on the train. These days it's free, so keep that in mind. Only for another 80 some odd days, but you have to register beforehand. Anyway, so I'm going to take the train to the big city and I'm going to read the Megillah on the 15th. No, I don't have that opportunity to do so. It's not that there's one unit of time that combines and integrates both the 14th and the 15th. That would be true if it said Zman in the singular, but Zmanayim in the plural is telling me that it's relative. And if you belong to one group, you are boxed into that day, which is Yudalit if you are from the Prozim. And if you belong to the other group, you're a big city slicker in a walled city, then your day is on the 15th. And how does the Tanakh convey that message? That it's not a flowing unit of 48 hours, and you can choose when you want to hear the Megillah, but rather you're stuck either and confined either to Yudalit or to Tesvav. That's the plural of Zmanehem. Zmanehem means there's one Zman and there's another Zman. Gemara says in Cain, Lema Kroz Zmanam. The jump from singular to plural could be achieved from Zman to Zmanon, their times, meaning their relative times. These guys on the 14th and these guys on the 15th. My Zmanehem, there must be an extra ribui here, some sort of inclusion. Shamet Minokulu, to teach you not only are there two Zmanim, and not only are those two Zmanim limited, and you can't cross teams, you know, you're on one team or the other, but also to teach you that there are other days, namely the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. So the Gemara says, if you're telling me that Zmanehem means extra days, so how many extra days are you adding? You came up with 3 extra days, the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. Zmanim Tuva? Now, Zmanim Tuva means that we can go beyond these 3 days. Now, why would we add days beyond these 3 days? You see, these 3 days, as the Mishnah works out mathematically, will cover the basis for Yom HaKnisa. So the Kfarim, the Bnei Kfarim, will only have to come in once to the big city, and they'll hear the Megillah. Why would the Gemara think that Zmanehem would go beyond those 3 days? So the Ritva here racks his brains and he comes up with the Yushalmi. And the Yushalmi has a pasuk in Megillah, HaChodesh HaZeh Asher Nefach Lehem Miyodom L'Simcha. HaChodesh HaZeh. It means that the month of Adar has a status in Halacha, we call it in Lomdus HaChalushem in Halacha, and the entire month of Adar, again, we're going to have to see what about after the 15th, but then we have below Yavar, remember that pasuk. But as far as the beginning of Adar, we could read the Megillah. By the way, does anybody know where else in Shas do we find that the Gemara suggests that the entire month has a status? This is a sugya in Arvei Pesachim at the end of Pesachim. The Gemara wants to know when is the mitzvah of Higadata Lebincha? And the Gemara wants to suggest the entire month of Nisan could generate the mitzvah of Higadata Lebincha until the Gemara quotes a pasuk by Yom Ahu that it's got to be on the 15th of Nisan. But there are dinim. I'll give you another example. There's a machlokas in the Gemara. You know that in Moadim there's always halacha of Chayef Adam Lumad. What's the language of the Gemara? Shalim Bedarshim Behukas Achad Kodem Achad. So one day is 30 days before the Chag. The other day is from the day of Rosh Chodesh. That once we get to Rosh Chodesh, in the case of Shavuos, that only gives you 6 days, 5 days, right? But in the other two cases, we have a full 2 week period of time to be Makai in the midst of Shalom the Darsh. But you see this halach in the month itself, the Chodesh. So that's what the Ritva quotes in Yerushalmi. There are other Achronim who want to say that it's a din in Shavua, that the Gemara's Havamina was that for 1 week before the 14th, you can read the Megillah. Anyway, this has to be taken under advisement. What does the Gemara mean that there's a Havamina that Zmaneim would go back even before Yud Aleph? So the Gemara answers, Zmaneim dumya dizmanon. Zmaneim is an extension over Zmanon. And it has to be similar to Zmanon. Now Zmanon refers to both the Prozim and the Krochim. So how many days do you get from Zmanon? 2 days, correct?
Right.
Oh, now Zmaneim has to duplicate, it's like a cloning kind of experience, the Zmanim. So if Zmanim is 2 days, then Zmaneim is going to be 2 days. But both sides, is that good news or bad news? That's bad news, because we have three extra days. So the Gemara says, Ma Zmanim Trey, Av Zmaneim Trey, just like Zmanim refers to the 2 days of Yudalit and Tesvav, so too Zmaneim is being marred by another 2 days. So the Gemara immediately asks, "Nu, if that be the case, then Ema we should say, the Ema we should say, Tresar, that's the 13th, Utlesar, which is, no, I'm sorry, Tresar is the 13th, Utlesar is the 12th, so we could go back to the 13th and even go back to the 12th. So we have the 2 days that are extra, that mirror image, Zmanam. But we're stuck without any source or any basis for Yudal. So the Gemara answers, Kida Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Shlosh Asar, Zman Kihilo Lakolhi. So we have a specific status in the 13th. Why? The 13th is the day of, Eric, you know my man? Tainis Esther. Why is the 13th designated for Tainis Esther? Because everybody came together, the entire, right, how does she say it, Esther, Leit Knossos Kol HaYehudim, they gathered together, they assembled. That's called Yom Kihilo, Zman Kihilo Lakol. So we had to get the men, women, and children together to pray that Hashem should save us and spare us from the Gzerah.
That's what they fought.
Good, so now Tainis Esther is a big sugya. This might be a year before they went out to battle. This is the year of the Gzerah. Again, there's a tremendous machlokas exactly what Tainis Esther is all about. So believe me, we'll get to that sugya later on. I don't want to jump ahead because, in any event, it's absolutely logically compelling that on the 13th of Adar, it would be appropriate to read the Megillah. Because the 13th of Adar was already singled out as a special day, both halachically and historically. It was the day in which they began. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik used to say that if somebody doesn't fast on Tainis Esther, then he doesn't have the full mitzvah of Purim. Tainis Esther and Purim is one long entity. He used to say the same thing about Erev Yom Kippur. In Erev Yom Kippur, if you're not eating, then you don't have the full mitzvah of Yinisan Esnaf Shal Seik. We're getting this part of a longer discussion. So the Gemara says, I don't need a special ribui for the 13th. Because the 13th clearly and logically would be an appropriate day for the reading of Megillah. For Lo Tzarech L'Ribuyeh. Oh, so now I only need a ribui for 2 days, namely for Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Is Hachanami Shlosha Sarzman Kilakoli Velotzarchli Rebuye?
Shmuel Bar Yitzchak made this comment in a different context, but we can apply it here as well. The Ema Shitzar V'Shivzar. So what about the 16th and the 17th? V'lo Yavar Ksiv. The Torah says, the Tanakh says, V'lo Yavar Lios Osimus Yimei Apurma Eilu Kiksovim Kizmano. In other words, it was written in these Ksovim, in these Igros that were sent out, that V'lo Yavar, it shouldn't go beyond these 2 days of 14th and 15th, which means that the 16th and the 17th cannot be canceled. This is the oily part of the sugya. Now we get to the consolation part of the sugya of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. What does Nachmeni mean? The word Nechama. Nechama is to console, right? So this I call the consoling part of the sugya. Omar, he has a different source, a different answer to the question of Heche Rebiza. The Omar Krop, because the Pasuk says, I'll read the whole Pasuk to you. L'kayim aleim lios osim es yom arvaso l'chodesh ador ves yom chavishos arbo b'chol shona v'shona kayomim asher nachu bohem ha-yehudim me'oyvehem. He reduces the whole remiza to one letter. The letter chav, the chav adinyom. Kayomim. Yomim. It could have said the word yomim. Why does it say Kayomim L'Rabbos? So the extra Chav is a Rebush. By the way, this is so typical of darshaning the Torah Shebichsav, the five books of Moses. But you see, the Gemara applies the same very heavy, you know, yardstick in Hilchos Drasha, even to Tanakh. L'Rabbos Achadas Arushneim Asar. So this extra Chav of Kayomim is a Rebush for the 11th and the 12th. Once again, the Gemara is going to ask, V'ema Tresar U'Tlesar. Or maybe that's only 2 days. How do you know 3 days? Kayomim. You're adding 2 days, that mirror image, they clone the 2 days of the 14th and the 15th. And the Gemara answers, Omer Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Shlosha Sosman Gila Koli, V'lo Tzorch Rebuye. Clearly, we know logically that the 13th of Adar is appropriate for Kriya Samagila. V'ema Shitzar V'Shivzar. Maybe it means the 16th and the 17th. V'lo Yavar Ksiv. And therefore, I know it's not beyond the 15th. So Rabbi Sayyid Mirza Shem on Sunday, on Yom Rishon, and if Yom Rishon was Yudal Badar, then the Bnei HaKfarim would be reading the Megillah on Yudal. Anyway, on Sunday, Mirza Shem, when we get together, we're going to see that the Gemara is going to now embark upon an entire analysis as to why the oily one, Rav Shemin, rejected Kayomim, the drasha of the Nachmeni, and why Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni rejected the drasha of Bizman Nehem. So we see, by the way, in Yiddish we say, Epis Tutzavdor. You feel with that phrase? That something is going on. The Gemara is not taking this lightly. This whole question about Eichi Reviza is a very important, intriguing question. Okay, then I wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom. I wish Yizokah, the Kiyum of the Bris, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never destroy the world again.
Amen.
That's a commitment that God took. So we know that Parshas Noach has an element of Nechama, as we said, of consolation.